Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, our focus this morning, and we are going to be talking about Beauty and the Beast. Patrick Ahern here this morning, and we've got a couple of cast members that we'll meet in just a second. Patrick, good morning. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Ted. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Always great to talk about what's going on at the Riverside. And boy, Beauty and the Beast, this is just everybody. I would say everybody has seen it, but I was just telling you, someone I work with has not seen it. But what a great story this is.
Yeah, I mean, this story, tale as old as time. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, it's been around so long, and then it was such a popular animated film. And then I think it ran on Broadway about 13 years. So it became popular as a stage production. And then more recently, within the last 3 years, the live action film that they did. So it's a favorite. What I like about it, it's great because it can bring the whole family out together. You know, the moms and dads can bring their kids.
Yeah.
And there's enough meat to the show that the adults enjoy it and the kids are just so enchanted by it. So it's a good one. Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that you can go, no matter how many times you see it, it's one of those that you see something different each time.
Hopefully you will. And you know, there's different interpretations of it, you know. And one of the things that in putting the show together, I really stress the heart, the storytelling of the show, I think is so important. Sometimes when we do a show like this, people can forget to deal with the simplicity of the story and make it so elaborate that you gloss over those things. And we have just a spectacular cast, and the way the show is put together, I think we have brought a lot of heart to the show.
I'll let you introduce the cast, because you brought a couple. We met the Beast a couple weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago. But you've got Nikki Elledge, who is our Belle, and Nikki is from up in the D.C. area, but she's also from the West Coast as well. And R.J. Pavel, who's also from up north, but by way of Maryland and New York, and I couldn't have two finer people playing Belle and Lumiere, which is a very popular character. Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
This is going to be an exciting show. It's great to have you here. Have either one of you done Beauty and the Beast before?
Yes, we both have actually
together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've performed the show two times, actually. I did it back in high school, and then I did it about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, and now I'm doing it again, and I love the show. I love playing Belle, and it's so special to me that I would do it over and over if I could, because I think it's a really important story to tell, and I think the role of Belle really brings a lot of goodness and a lot of heart to a lot of people, especially children and families.
Yeah. Have you always done Belle?
I have, yep.
Well, you look like a perfect Belle.
Thank you.
You just seem like a kind person.
Thank you. Thank you.
RJ, have you always done Lumiere?
No, I haven't. Me and Nikki did it at Toby's Dinner Theater 2 years ago. I was in the ensemble and understudied Lumiere. I did it in high school as well. I was actually the Beast. But no, I'm Lumiere, and I'm so happy. It's one of my favorite parts.
What's it like to be in a play where you've done, when you do different, you're in the same play, but you do different parts?
I think it might depend on the show. Fortunately, I love Beauty and the Beast. It's one of my favorite shows, and I grew up with it. I've always loved it. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
So I could never get tired of it. I'm still singing the songs at home at night after shows. That's not the same for every show. So, I mean, it really depends, but it also helps to switch up the roles, too, and see different sides of the characters.
Now, since Patrick just, you know, gave the first little bit, now that's going to be in my head all day, the Beauty and the Beast song. And that's the one thing about this show, that all the music is just, it's so memorable and good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
And I think, too, doing the show multiple times, it's always going to be different because you're always with a new group of people, new cast, new director, new design team, new everything. And then as an actor, it's fun to even playing the same role even for the third time, I'm still finding new things. And as an actor and just as a person, you grow every year. And so I think the role for me has gotten deeper, has meant more to me. And it's sort of cool having already knowing all the lines, already knowing the music, and having then the freedom in the rehearsal process to just play and do new things and make it even more rich every time. And it's really a joy to do something multiple times, I think, because it's just, you get that freedom to play more.
You two seem like the type that when you were growing up, you watched it over, probably on a VCR even, watched the show over and over and over.
I didn't as much. I love Beauty and the Beast. I think it's one of my favorite Disney movies. And I remember seeing it on tour when it came out to I'm from San Diego originally. And I saw it when I was on tour, and I think I saw it in New York maybe too. Is that possible? That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I saw it in New York with my mom, I think. And the show, I mean, it's such a, it's so incredible. And at the end of Be Our Guest, and all the streamers like popped out of the, it's so magical as a child. And, but I don't think I watched the movie all the time when I was a child. Did you, RJ?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, my kids did, so that's why I just thought,
I have like posters and all these like collectible statues. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Where'd you find them, Patrick?
Oh, you know me, Ted. Oddly enough, Nikki, I saw, she did a production of Finian's Rainbow at Catholic University 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Six years. It was my sophomore year of college.
Because Catholic University, a gentleman by the name of Tom Penderson, and I also hired a director, Jay Brock, from Catholic University. You know, I always like to cast my net pretty wide.
Yeah.
And I like to go and see talent around the area. When I came here, I told you, I mean, there's some great talent right in the vicinity, but it's always about reaching out too. I saw her do Finian's Rainbow, and I thought she was wonderful. And I actually reached out to her for our production of Legally Blonde. I said, this girl is perfect for Elle Wood. And at the time, I think you were going back to do something in San Diego.
It must have been a summer or something, because I would go back to... Yeah.
And then she kind of reached out when we were doing... I think you submitted, or when you were doing Amazing Grace with Wynn, that's it. Mm-hmm. And when she came across, I went, oh my God, that's it. I mean, you know, I had her come in and sing for us, but I thought she's perfect for, you know, for Belle, and I had remembered her from before. So it was a no-brainer. There were a lot of people that wanted to play Belle, but when you mentioned kind before, you can't fake kind.
Yeah.
And when she came down and we met, I know she's so talented, but when you get somebody that's genuine, it was a perfect fit. So that was easy breezy. Uh-huh. And then RJ came down to audition, and I had never seen him before, but he just knocked it out of the park when he came to the audition. And I remember I turned to everybody and I said, well, that's it. You know, I mean, it's interesting as a performer going way back. My agent would call and he'd say, now you can go in at this time or this time. Let me go late in the afternoon. I was always taught that, no, don't do that. Go be one of the first ones in. And if you know you're going to deliver, then you set the bar. Everybody, if you're really outstanding, and that's what happens sometimes. I mean, I had seen Nikki before, but I remember, RJ, you came in, and anybody that came in after you, I would compare to you from your audition. So
that's good advice.
Yeah. But anyway, they're both outstanding. It's just really thrilling to have both of them, and easy to work with, and consummate pros. Yeah.
It was funny because when I walked out into the lobby, and Nikki, I met you, and I thought she has to be Belle just because she's just perky and nice.
Thank
so
you.
That's what did it. Beauty and the Beast. I didn't write down. It's through the end of November. November 25th. I was thinking of that.
We close right. It's Thanksgiving weekend. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford, 370-4300 or riversidedt.com. More on that and getting tickets when we come back. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Right now, you can win a copy of Glenn Beck's new book, Addicted to Outrage. Glenn Beck, author of 13 number one New York Times bestsellers, issues a startling challenge to people on both sides of the aisle to give up our addiction to outrage. First person to text me in the studio at 540-371-5756 wins a copy. More with Beauty and the Beast when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and Beauty and the Beast this morning. Patrick Ahern is here. Nikki Elledge is here. She's Belle. And RJ's Lumiere is here this morning as we talk Beauty and the Beast at the at the Riverside Center. RJ, I'll start off with you. When did you get the bug and decide that this was the kind of, this is what you wanted to do?
Oh, wow. I was in first grade, I think.
You just like being out on, you like being up on stage?
Yeah, I was very young. I think I saw, I remember my first show was seeing Christmas Carol at the Ford Theater in D.C. And my parents would always just take me to theater. And then I think it was when I saw the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway was when I was like, this is what I want to do. I was just set, yeah.
Nikki, how about you?
Yeah, sort of like RJ, my parents took me to a lot of theater. My parents are also musicians, so they're in the arts as well. But I saw some shows when I was really young and really loved seeing theater. And then I saw a show at San Diego Junior Theater, which is a youth theater in San Diego. And I don't remember what the show was, but I saw on the back of the program that they had auditions coming up for Winnie the Pooh, which was their summer show for the little ones. And you had to be 8 years old to be in the show, and I was 7 and a half, and I decided to audition. And I remember when I got a call back, I was just running around the room freaking out, so excited. And then I got cast as a little bunny in the ensemble, and I would be 8 years old when the show opened. So I was able to do the show, and I was so excited. And I had three lines in the show, and one of them was, "They thought Kanga was chasing them," and I'll always remember that. And I completely fell in love with theater during that show. And ever since then, I haven't really loved anything as much. So that's when I caught the bug after, and I was 8 years old. Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting. It just shows you that, you know, you've got kids in whether it's in a school play or even a church play or in any number of opportunities around here. You just never know what level and at what age you're going to get into it.
Yep. Yeah.
When did you, I mean, you Patrick, you took a much different turn than them.
They found me. I didn't set out to do this. Yeah, I wanted to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know my degree's in broadcast journalism. So yeah. It really wasn't until I got coaxed into doing The Music Man as senior in high school by a public speaking teacher that I had as an English elective. And and then when I was at college at Syracuse, I dabbled in it, but I kind of got pulled in kicking and screaming. Yeah. So, but I love it. I mean, it's my life, you know, and I was very fortunate to get plucked and have good guidance right out of college. Cause this was not my desired path. I was going to graduate and go back and get my master's in journalism, and then wound up getting my equity card and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Ford's Theater, and then went to New York and did the show and toured with it, and the rest is history. So, but there's nothing like it. Now, my parents love theater, so they used to take my sister and I into New York, because I grew up in central New York, which was a few hours away, but you know, I remember seeing shows like Hello, Dolly! Back in the day, and A Chorus Line. You know, I saw it in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was in high school, and it always opened my eyes, but I didn't think I would be actually doing it. My mom was a dancer. She was a tap dancer, and she used to choreograph all the shows locally, but I never really, I don't know, it must have seeped in somehow, but here I am. Once I graduated from college, this has been my life ever since.
Nikki, once you really decided this is what you wanted to do, then did you focus on acting and singing or dancing or try to do all of it?
So when I was really young, before I got into theater, I was sort of trying to do the TV thing, and I had an agent for a little bit, and I went up to LA for auditions, and it wasn't quite right for me at the time, and I didn't get anything from it, and it wasn't my passion at the time. So I sort of started with that, and then was in ballet class for a while. And then the theater thing, then I realized I love theater at age 8, and then the ballet thing became too intense for me and sort of a negative experience for me. So I sort of let that go, and then I really focused on theater at age 8, and then theater at the San Diego Junior Theater, which was the youth theater, and then I did theater at school, and then when I was in fifth grade, I started voice lessons with a classical voice teacher, and I really got involved with my voice and having a really nice classical foundation, and I was taking also piano since I was 5, so I was doing piano, so sort of the music route a little bit more, and then still doing theater, and then I started doing professional theater in San Diego, starting in middle school and through high school, and sort of the music route, but still taking dance classes as well. And I had an acting coach starting in middle school as well, which really helped me on the acting and my monologues and all of those things.
That's really great.
My parents are musicians. My mom's a cellist. My dad's a drummer, and they work for a music publishing company. So they are also very much in this industry as well, and very supportive of me. So they really helped me find the really good teachers and coaches to help me be successful in this thing that I love so much. So it sort of became really theater, music, acting oriented. And dance is not my passion, but as a musical theater performer, you have to be able to move. So I did take dance as well to strengthen that part of me as well.
There's a lot involved in it.
It's a lot involved to really do this thing. And thankfully I have a family that's extremely supportive of me following this dream that I have. So, yeah.
RJ, how about you? What have you kind of focused on?
I think it was more music as well, actually. I think I was in my first community theater show in The King and I when I was in third grade. So I was doing community theater. My dad was vice president of the local, it was called Children's Theater in Annapolis. But I got into classical voice lessons. I also did piano for 8 years. But not so much dance as well. I love dance now. I went to college for musical theater, and I love ballet, actually. But I think that's one of my regrets that I didn't start that earlier. But I was actually the only, family member in the arts. My sister's a dancer, quit. I'm still the only one doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I have that support, because my whole family doesn't really understand a lot of it. But yeah, I'm glad my dad was a stage dad, so he helped a lot. Definitely more music.
Just the hours, though, that as you've described what you do, just at a young age, you were doing a lot of things.
It was a lot of work
that a lot of kids don't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. On top of just being in school.
Yeah.
And I never played sports. Did you play sports?
I did a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me,
wasn't a fan though.
Yeah, for me it was really focused on this theater thing, and then trying to also do well in school. But it was a lot of late nights, especially doing shows and professional theater and trying to do school. And it was sort of a lot, but totally worth it. And sort of, I think, has helped me be what I'm doing today. Really,
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
This you mentioned that you've been Belle several times, and I guess it never gets old.
No, No, I think, like I said before, every time I do it, actually every performance, I sort of find something new with the role, and I was sort of talking to RJ, I was thinking about why I love playing Belle, and I think I love the character. I love, like we were talking about, her, the heart of the show. I think Belle has so much heart and kindness, and she's honest and genuine, and I think she's such a great example for all of us of somebody that seeks adventure and is curious and love, you know, has this huge heart and sees the beauty from within. And so I love the character. I love the music that Belle gets to sing. It's all really beautiful, and A Change in Me is one of my favorite songs I get to sing in Act Two. The lyrics, I think, are beautiful, and she does have the Beast has this external, I mean internal as well, change, but also this external, he turns back into the prince, you know, mm-hmm. but Belle has this internal change and growth that she experiences after going to this dungeon and then realizing how, you know, the beauty is within, and this, and that's my favorite line of the show that I get to say, is it must come from within. And I also just love what the show brings to people. You really see the impact after the show. People are so much happier and filled with this light.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I find really important as an actor, is to bring goodness. And I think this role can do that. And that's why I love playing it. And yeah. And every time it's new, so it does not get boring.
RJ, for Lumiere, what do you like best?
Oh my gosh, Lumiere. What's not to like?
He's so funny.
He's optimistic in a way.
He's optimistic, yes.
Everybody else is like, you know, the petals are falling. Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of like, me and Patrick were talking, he's like the ringleader. He's mm-hmm. the master of ceremonies.
Yes.
Yeah. He kind of takes the reins.
He has a sense of humor, you know.
Yeah, always very funny.
You know, Cogsworth is so uptight, you know, and so concerned. And Lumiere brings a little bit of that, you know, like he's a little bit of a joker.
Yeah.
But I think he knows he needs to take that role because he sees all of his coworkers and his friends, you know, kind of down. And so he's like, well, we have this. Let's be our gut. Let's create a distraction. Yeah. Let's all be a little more optimistic.
Yeah.
But it was kind of hard finding the human side of him, though, too, because, I mean, you can't just be a 2D cartoon when you're live on stage.
Yeah.
So, of course, I mean, I think the script, there's stuff to find in the script with Lumiere that kind of brings him down to earth. But it was a lot of fun finding that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing him
and
to
the
actual
scene
life.
And the Beast that you I just
so
love.
Nice. I love
what
that
you
scene.
Do.
I love the way that's
it's
written.
It's so, so great. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Belle has a special connection with Lumiere. Mrs. Potts also, and we've been talking about how mm-hmm. Belle's mother passed away, and now she just has her father. So Mrs. Potts sort of has this maternal, becomes this maternal figure for Belle, which I think is really special and something that Belle needs in her life, and Mrs. Potts brings that. But I think Lumiere, she has like little asides with Lumiere, right. And Lumiere is the one that sings Be Our Guest, and for sort of for Belle and for to bring joy, and so I think there is a little special thing that Lumiere mm-hmm. and Belle share, which I really love.
It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
It is sort
you know,
of like the Wizard
if
of Oz.
If Belle
yeah.
was leaving, mm-hmm. who would be, and maybe Lumiere mm. would be like the Scarecrow.
Yes. Know, with... I think so too. And Cogsworth is, of course, Belle likes Cogsworth too.
Oh yeah.
And he's like so funny and anxious, and it's great. But I don't know. I think there is a little special thing there with Lumiere and Belle.
It is Beauty and the Beast at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, riversidedt.com for tickets, 370-4300 through November 25th. More coming up with Nikki Ullage, RJ, and Patrick Ahern on News Talk 1230 WFEA. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFEA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, our focus this morning, and Beauty and the Beast through November 25th. RiversideDT.com is the website, 370-4300. And we say it every time, Patrick, but don't wait. And boy, especially this one, when you start, if you wait, you're going to be you're going to be near the holidays,
yeah.
And I would think the last few weeks, especially,
yeah.
will be sold out if it's not pretty soon.
Well, this show had a you know, good size advance, you know, because it is a family show and it is a popular show. So I know a lot of the weekends are, some of them are sold out. So you don't want to, you know, you don't want to wait till the last minute. You want to get your tickets now. Trust me, the holidays will be here before you can,
yeah,
you know.
No, we talk now. November 25th seems so far away.
But yeah, but it's not.
You blink and it's there.
Yeah.
RJ and Nikki here from in the cast, along with Patrick Ahern, the producing artistic director at Riverside. RJ, one of the things I wanted to ask you as Lumiere, what about, to talk about just costumes and what that's like, because you're in a unique situation, mm-hmm. that you're mainly, for most of the show, you know, you're not you.
I am not me, and I don't have my hands. sometimes that can be fun, running backstage, rushing to do something.
Yeah.
Have to put down the candles. And even on stage, we have some great set pieces that move while we're on them, and I'm running up the stairs as they're moving across the stage. Thank God I have balance. but sometimes, you know, I don't have hands to hold onto the banisters, but it's fun. but the costumes are really important, because that's where your physicality comes. You know, you can mm-hmm. your body speaks through the costumes, especially for these enchanted objects, mm-hmm. and how to animate yeah. who you are, like a teapot, a candle. And I when I start character work, I tend to start with physicality. And where my energy holds in my body. So I really do rely on costumes a lot when it comes to characters, especially for something like Lumiere, when it's Disney and very animated. And it is very physical.
Yeah.
But I think we have some great costumes. We were just talking about it out in the lobby before coming in here.
Yeah.
They're not what you typically see, but they work very well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a few quick changes, and that always takes a second to figure out, because you have like 30 seconds to put on a whole new costume. And so some of my costumes are rigged just so they can come on and off really quickly. Mm-hmm. And normally there's two people helping me with my quick changes and getting into the gold dress. I have to change my hair. I'm using my natural hair for the show, which is really fun. But I have to, you know, do my hair too for the gold dress, for the dinner scene. So quick changes, you always, you know, it's always a production on stage, but always backstage.
Oh, I imagine.
That's like where the real magic is happening. But now I think all of the quick changes are, we're having a nice flow with them. And I've been making it on time for my entrances. So that's always good. But it's always fun to think about what's actually going on backstage, because there's all this stuff happening to make it look so effortless on stage.
How much do you have to practice that kind of thing?
It really depends on just how everything works. We were having issues with one of the dresses just because it just takes a little finagling with the zipper. But now we've figured that out, and it takes 2 seconds now. And now I'm waiting there for my entrance instead of like rushing and then having to ad lib until I come on stage. So it just sort of depends. But some are easier than you think they would be, and vice versa. But it is really about the flow, and okay, this thing happens first, and then we put on the skirt, and then we do the shoes, and maybe we won't have time for the shoes, so we'll do everything else first, you know. But it's all about, just like you choreograph a dance number, it's mm-hmm. really the same yeah. way for any backstage movement. Same with, we have these really beautiful grand staircase pieces. Same with that. It's, how are these going to get backstage, and how is the traffic going to be backstage with the bed there? And then there's people, and there's a pot, because there's all the enchanted objects, and it's sort of fun.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's also
a big show, yeah.
it's a huge show, which is very exciting to come see.
I never thought of it. You're right, though. With all the pieces
uh-huh.
are just a little bit bigger than just
yeah.
normal actors.
And mm-hmm. You're dealing with the wing space that you have, too. So when you've got big set pieces, and then you've got people who are playing objects, and you've got a big clock and a teapot and a wardrobe, and you know, it can get challenging. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'll be interested to see how you do the wardrobe.
Come see. We have these, the designer J.D. Madsen, who's a wonderful scenic designer. He did our production of West Side Story and Sister Act. West Side, I think, was one of the best sets we've ever had. It was just kind of like a Norman Rockwell West Side. You saw West Side Story. Mm-hmm. Those tenements went all the way up to the ceiling, and it was really terrific. But he does great work, and one of the elements of the show, really the main element of the show, is a grand staircase for the castle. And when we were first discussing the design, I said to him, I said, I love this grand staircase. It's going to be great for Be Our Guest. It's going to be great when Belle, you know, stands at the top of the stairs. But let's talk about, you know, how I make these other locations work. And he said, oh, that's all done with the staircase. And it was funny because when we did Hunchback, the set designer and I, that was the plan, to use the towers and those big staircase units to create the different locations. But initially in our talks for Beauty and the Beast, at least JD didn't make that clear to me. So when he said, we're going to use these big staircases, I, oh my God, I mean, how are we going to do this? And we had them built, so we had them in the rehearsal process, which is great. And, you know, I thought to myself, okay, this seems like it's going to work. It's going to be good. But as beautiful as they are, they do present a challenge, because it's not only moving them, but then there's three portals on stage that create such great depth to the scenes. And it's maneuvering them through the portals and stuff. But our crew has done an extraordinary job in a short amount of time, you know, getting that done, trying to get it done quietly. We've tried them in costume. We put them back into just black so they don't look like, you know, the seven dwarfs moving pieces on stage. But it's true. When it all works, it's truly enchanting. It's a love. The set is beautiful.
It's gotten to where you come to a show, and I look forward to seeing the sets. Mm-hmm. And some of them just. The Hunchback just took my breath away.
Especially
when the show started and you lit up parts of it, and it just was.
Yeah, it was
never
beautiful.
Forget
show.
It.
Yeah, but in this day and age, and especially where we live, I mean, we're right here on the East Coast, where people go to the Kennedy Center. I know people in this area that get on a train on a Wednesday early morning, go into New York, see a matinee and an evening show, and get back on the late train back. You have to present a show of quality, of something that people, you know, they're comparing it to other things. And you have to work within a budget, but I want all the elements to come together to be right. That's what puts people in the seats. So, we'll continue to do that the best we can.
RJ, is there a favorite part of the show for you?
I would have to say Be Our Guest, honestly. It's the hardest part, for sure. I can't breathe after about 30 seconds into the song. But that's definitely my favorite and the most fun.
And he's so good at it, too.
Yeah. It's like a show within a show. You know,
that song, especially. Yeah. There's so much going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the easiest part for me in the show, which is a nice, I get to sort of sit there.
Yeah,
and
just watch it.
I get to watch everyone kick their face as they dance and RJ sing, and it's great.
For me, it's like the Hello Dolly number.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know? I mean, it is. It's just, you know, Nikki is sort of like Dolly in a certain point where they take her to the table and she watches, but then RJ's got a little bit of Dolly in him too, because he take stage on the top of the staircase. And yeah, it's great. It's like, it's old fashioned musical theater at its best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that song. I'm sure it must be, you might sometimes want to take a peek at the audience, because I know that everybody's would just be so into that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely break the fourth wall too sometimes. I hope you don't mind, Patrick. I mean, it's a show, so I do sometimes bend over and talk to the audience members. It's a lot of fun seeing their faces.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I mean, being in a dinner theater. It is.
Yeah.
The number is like dinner theater. You know.
Yeah.
So no, it's great. It's a wonderful number, and RJ leads it beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pure joy for sure.
Nikki, how about you? What's your favorite part? Is Belle.
That is a hard question.
Because there's so many levels to this. This show takes so many different turns.
Yeah, and it's sort of, Belle has sort of a darker journey at points, and it really is a journey, which is another reason I love the role, because I get to, you know, start at home and have all the wonderful scenes with my father, and I love all of that because it's so honest and filled with love, and I get all the fun Gaston stuff, which is silly and ridiculous and fun, and but then I really love the castle moments, and I'm really enjoying sort of the beginning of when I'm in the castle with the struggle of deciding I'm going to take my father's place and I'm going to be selfless and stay in this castle forever, is what I think. And when I go into it, and I love that scene because there's danger and it's sort of, there's adventure with it and this selfless act as well. And I've really loved the scene in this production and going into the first song I sing, which is Home, the first full song I get to sing. And I love that song as well. And I think as a person, I get homesick sometimes because I'm from San Diego and I'm living on the East Coast, which is, I love it out here. But I every time I sing that song, it's very real because I do miss my actual home. And sometimes as an actor, you sort of have to replace things. And so I really connect to that whole sequence a lot. And I think that might be my favorite. And then my second favorite section of the show would be the dinner scene, the gold dress, the classic. I think it's just beautiful. And Sherry Edlin, who's playing Mrs. Potts, sings a song so Beating the Beast, the title song, and sings it so beautifully. And it's just, I have that princess moment, which is sort of silly, but it really feels beautiful. And I love that. And she really starts to really fall in love with the Beast at that moment and see his beauty. And then going into Change in Me, which is when she really realizes how much she's grown through this journey. So those are my two favorite sections. Obviously, I really enjoy the role because I can't pick a favorite.
Yeah. Boy, and RJ, for you at the end, when you're not, I guess you're not out of your, you know, you're not you until the very end, and not for very long.
Right. Not for very long at all. He's not a human in the show. but no, that scene's wonderful because it's still a release. It's still a very exciting moment of, because me and Nikki have a little hug at the end. It's just like, we're here. Like, we actually did it.
It's such a celebration at the end. And Patrick has this idea of family has been really important in our show. And I think the Enchanted Objects and Belle and the Beast, that's a family too, just like my father and Belle and her father. So that there is that like family celebration. We're here and we've our true selves again, and that's really a beautiful moment too.
Yeah, the relationships in this story are so important.
Yeah,
and the way we start the story, it just goes to the essence of storytelling. You know, and one of the favorite things for me in this show is Nikki and Wynn have these beautiful moments when he presents her with, he wants to give her something that's so incredibly special, and books mean so much to her. I mean, that's pretty much led her life to adventure, and he presents her with this incredible library in the second act, and then she reads to him, and he comes to the realization as she reads the story of King Arthur to him, how amazing, and he gets so excited and feels so strong, and then he thinks about it and he says, you know, I never knew books could do that. And she says, what? And he says, take me away from this place for a little while and make me forget. And the connection to, that's what we do as artists. That's what we do in the theater. We have this responsibility to take people away, especially in this world that we live in today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get to entertain them. And sometimes through entertaining them, we get to educate them, whether we're setting out to do it or whether it's subconsciously. We get to move them. We get to make them laugh. And so it's a nice connection to good old-fashioned storytelling and sometimes how it can seep into... You've got 400 people watching you, and I just think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Riverside Center for the Performing Arts and Beauty and the Beast through November 25th. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern here along with Nikki and RJ, the part of the cast of Beauty and the Beast through November 25th at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. RiversideDT.com, 370-4300. And as we said, but Patrick, this sounds like a... RJ and Nikki have been just fantastic this morning.
I wanted to let everybody know, RJ isn't, it's not like Cher. RJ has a last name. His name is Pavel. So,
I didn't even realize.
Yeah. It's just RJ. Yeah. So RJ Pavel.
RJ Pavel.
Yeah. It's a terrific cast. And now that we're up and running for a week and everybody's just going to marinate in their characters and the relationships are going to develop on stage, it's a winner. You don't want to miss this show.
Well, and just Nikki, as you've described it, the both of you have just described it, the set is just, it's big. It's a big show.
Big show. Big show, lots of people, beautiful costumes.
And there's so many emotions, because you start out, you don't like the Beast very much, mm-hmm. and then you get to where the townspeople, you just are angry at them, and it's just a lot of different feelings that you guys, and then mm-hmm. RJ, you're just fun the whole time. That's the thing about you.
And both of them have wonderful voices too. I mean, you know, these characters are wonderful, but when you get to hear Nikki sing these songs, you get to hear RJ Singh be our guest. It's
going to be my mind all day now. all day now.
Yeah.
So now this is exciting, and just to have, but this has been a great year for
it has been,
and off to another great season for the Riverside, yep. And this is just fits in well and gets us ready for Christmas.
Gets us ready for Christmas, and Todd Meredith will be back for Rockabilly Christmas. So that's we're looking forward to that. Yeah.
Well, Nikki and RJ, thank you so
much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For coming. Yeah. This has been great. I can't wait to see the show.
Thank you.
And just to see you guys and the set and everything. Thanks for being
you.
In the area.
Thanks for having us.
Patrick, I always see you, and it's always good to have you here.
I always look forward to this, Ted.
This is
you
fun.
Know I have late nights, but I don't
You're
mind getting
me.
Up early for Ted Schubel, so thank you.
RiversideDT.com, RiversideDT.com. You can order tickets online or call 370-4300. It is Beauty and the Beast through November 25th at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. That's it. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.